There is one example that you are faced with this example that if you make a very nice, delicious drink, let's take the example of milkshake, and you put the ingredients into the milkshake just like people do ice cream, nice ice cream, tasty ice cream into the milkshake. And when you present that milkshake to someone, then by chance, three or four flies fly into that milkshake, fall into that milkshake. Then will that milkshake you made with a lot of effort, will it be worthy of being presented to that guest, to that person? Or the person, when he wants to drink it, he takes all of that glass, will he be able to drink it? No. All of the milkshake, the beauty of it, the taste of it, the effort, all of it's gone to waste. And amalu salihat, the good deeds, virtuous deeds, are in the same situation. A person works hard, makes effort. Rather, with Allah's grace, Allah's mercy, we should say, with Allah's permission, He permits us to praise Allah. Isn't it? Not working hard, us working hard is... Praying salah is not some easy feat. Leaving home, work, business, shop, coming to the masjid, doing wudu, praying salah. It's Allah's fadl, His permission, His grace. Because otherwise we could not pray. Allah Ta'ala follows the niyyah. If a person has nur, light of iman, if he wants to do good, even if he's in difficulty, he's got a very hard job, a lot of complications, but inside he has a desire. Allah knows what's happening inside. Allah Ta'ala brings that desire to fruition, to practice. Allah makes it easy for that person. Then he's surprised. I'm practicing as well. And I've not even lost the job. And I'm praying as well. Subhanallah. Allah's fadl. So, good deeds, virtuous deeds are done with Allah's permission. Tawfiq. Then after that, a person falls into the hands of nafs and shaitan. When it comes to the time to present the amalu salihat, the good deeds, a person actually is a sinner at that time. Yeah, so a person, because of his sins, the good deeds he practiced, tahajjud, dhikr in the morning, recitation of Quran, nawafil, etc. When he sins, then just like the milkshake that changed form due to the flies, nice milkshake, looks good, tasty. As soon as you present it, the flies fell into it and it was wasted. In the same way, a human being, when he does good deeds, virtuous deeds, pious deeds, and then he commits sin, then he extinguishes the light of that those amal, those deeds. The beauty of those deeds disappears. A salah takes a person to the heights. One salah of tahajjud. Imagine the status it gives to a person. We cannot imagine how much reward. Dhikr, if a person sits in isolation, solitude, does dhikr, and the tears drop from his eyes. Becomes so precious, that tear. Allah Ta'ala Himself says it becomes so precious, that tear, that it cools the fire of Jahannam. It cools the fire of Jahannam. What a great deed Allah makes us do, isn't it? So Allah has sat us down, then we cry, the tears flow. Because you shouldn't just do dhikr on its own. When a person does dhikr, he should think about his condition. Where am I? I'm sinful. What I was before. Allah's great and pure name, He's made His name for us. He states in the hadith, Allah Ta'ala said that I kept my name myself. I selected it myself, Allah Ta'ala says. From in my treasures then I decorated it. In the hadith, this is the name of Allah. Allah said, I selected it myself, I kept it myself, and I decorated it. And when I made it apparent, or when I was about to make it apparent, then something that cannot compare from that kitab, azim kitab, I took my name out from, Allah Ta'ala said, about His own name. So in the hadith it stated that the Qur'an, it came, it's printed now, it's been published, but it came from Allah, because Allah wanted to show and demonstrate His name, that this is the name we are reciting. Then in the hadith it says further that Allah Ta'ala said, I allowed my name to be visible. Then Allah said, those forms of creation that I like and I prefer, those from my creation I selected, I allowed them to recite my name from their tongues. So is this a small reward that we are sitting here? Can there be a greater ni'mah than this? Imagine yourself. Forget dhikr. Can we forget dhikr? Yes. Can we stop reciting Allah's name? We say that if we stop doing dhikr, what's the loss? No, that these verses and hadith give us encouragement. Encouragement. I'm feeling a bit down at the moment. So if I stop while I'm speaking, because my neck, my throat is a bit unwell. So if Allah Ta'ala wants, Allah Ta'ala could show us paradise. He could remove all the clouds and show us direct. Is there anyone then who would not believe in Allah? Would there be anyone then after that who doesn't implement Allah's order? Because Jannah is there, visible, apparent. Allah could remove all the veils and show. Yes, so it's not. It doesn't take long for Allah to do this if He wants. And if Allah wants to, if He can hide paradise, He can show paradise, isn't it? Yeah, nothing is possible for Allah. But Allah Ta'ala says, have yaqeen in my words, believe in my words as if you are seeing them. So when we sit in dhikr, this is what our situation should be. That when we listen to the hadith, subhanAllah, this is the opportunity, this is happening with me at this moment in time. This is the reward Allah has given to me right now. This is the level that I'm on. This is the reward I'm getting. If we don't think, then how will we get the benefit? That's why a person leaves dhikr. When he starts leaving dhikr, then suddenly think, I'm leaving Allah's remembrance. Why am I leaving Allah's remembrance? So I'm a bit lazy. For this thing, this minor thing, I'm leaving the majlis, the gathering, the name of Allah. How sad it is. Oh, pity on you, oh silly man. Get up. Don't you feel ashamed that for the sake of this worldly thing you're leaving Allah's remembrance? Will this night come again? Will this night of Jummah come again? Tell me. Will it come again? It will not come again in your lives. If it's gone, it's gone. So valuable a time Allah has given to us. Allah has increased our life by one day, say subhanAllah. Otherwise we'd be passed away as well. Yes, that somebody would be reciting, okay, this brother's passed away, recite his janazah, let's praise janazah salah with this many takbiris, this many ikamas. Could be me, could be you, whose janazah salah would be prayed today. So have we got a seal for years we're not going to die? Why is it that person's died and we haven't died? So he's gone. Yes, person's gone before the night of Jummah. Allah's given us another night of Jummah. Say subhanAllah. Is this not an opportunity? What a great opportunity that we shouldn't waste. Allah's given us this opportunity. Yes, if we were to miss it, we couldn't get it back. We can't compensate for it. If it's gone, it's gone forever. Forevermore it's left your life. It's fadail, it's virtues, it's blessings, it's mercies. Today the forgiveness that will come. Today is rahmas of Allah. Today is forgiveness. Today the kalimats we recite from our mouths, the du'as that we will recite, they cannot come back. They cannot be substituted for. What would we do in comparison to this if we didn't come here? Say subhanAllah. SubhanAllah. So it's good I've come today, isn't it? It's good you've come today, isn't it? Isn't it? Otherwise I'd make it excuse, I've got a sore throat today, I can't breathe. So what if I can't breathe? People will see me and I'll see them. At least I'm in the gathering. Yeah? If I can't speak, at least I'll go into the masjid and sit down in Allah's house. At least I see you pious people. Is this a small thing? To see a pious person's face and do his ziyarah, Allah forgives a person. Just if you look at a pious person. So mashallah, you are so many pious people. I thought, so many pious people, every one of you is a friend of Allah sitting. Let me at least go and see them, I'll be forgiven. Even if I've got a sore throat, so what? I'll still go and see the pious people. Yeah, at least I'll keep on sitting. Okay, I'll lie down if I feel bad. That's the worst case scenario, isn't it? I'll lie down, but we're sad here. Yes, okay, if it stops, if I can't speak anymore, I won't speak. But at least we're in Allah's home. So this is the sense of thinking. It's our thinking, our concept, our ideology, self-assessment of life every second. What am I doing? What should I be doing now? Where should I be going? What should I get now? What's better for me? What's a waste for me? How should I utilize this time to make it beneficial? How much shall I waste if I don't utilize it properly? I could waste it. So I have to think about this. So think continuously. Continuously think. And when you think, I've got this to do, A, B, C, okay, from all of these, or from both A and B, which one's got more benefit? Which action at this moment in time will give me more benefit? And at the end, one conclusion comes. The most beneficial is that action which has a link with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or gives you a connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's it. That's the way to analyze and decide. Any action that links and connects to Allah, that's the better action. The other one isn't beneficial if it doesn't have that. So amal, Allah has given us the tawfiq. And if we waste all our deeds and we commit sins and then we waste our deeds again, then we're wasting them. We shouldn't waste our deeds, our good deeds. We shouldn't leave them in the first place. So first of all, leave the sins. Don't leave the good deeds, leave the sins. Because sins extinguish, eliminate the good deeds. I have to think, I've done good deeds, I've worked hard, I've made effort, I need to protect my deeds. And how do you protect your good deeds? By leaving the sins. Is that right, what I'm saying? Easy, isn't it? Easy solution. But what do we do? Our situation today is a bit upside down, flip side. We make a lot of effort, we work hard to do good deeds. We work hard. We put a lot of effort and time and sweat and do this. I want to do this deed and this ibadah and this worship. But we don't work hard. That how do we protect our good deeds? We don't pay attention to that. Do this, do that ibadah, do this worship, do this. That's fine. But how do we save and protect, safeguard our good deeds? Yes, we have to safeguard our good deeds, isn't it? Can't let them go to waste. So there's no hard work for that. No thinking, no trying, nothing. That we should be saved from sins. Leave the sins. We don't try hard. If we leave the sins, then our deeds will be protected. Then our amal will come in front of us. Quran will help us. So we need to work hard that I shouldn't commit the sins. Yes? To as maximum as possible, as much as possible, we should leave the sins as much as possible. We should do this, shouldn't we, brothers? My friends? Of course we should. So let's work harder on this aspect. And this effort to leave the sins, the name of this is tazkiyah. This is where the title Tazkiyah is given. The subject of Islam. Tazkiyah is a vast subject. And if the Prophet ﷺ was praised, وَيُعَلِّمْهُمُ الْكِتَابُ وَالْحِكْمَةَ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ. He'll bring the Quran, he'll bring his hikmah, sunnah, but completion will be with Tazkiyah. The subject of Tazkiyah, purification. What is Tazkiyah? What's the definition of Tazkiyah? Tazkiyah is that effort, that work, is that when we try to leave the sins, the other name for this is what? Tazkiyah. Tazkiyah. And why do you go to a wali Allah? I'm going to do tazkiyah. What does tazkiyah mean? We are going so that we can leave the sins. And if you think I'm going to become a wali Allah, so I can become Khalifa, his deputy, float in the air and think of this and that, sit to the side, you're not going to get nothing. You won't achieve nothing. Allah looks, everything is attained via his niyyah. You will get the conclusion, the result, based on your intentions. So first correct your intentions. When you go to a wali Allah, a sheikh, you learn dhikr from him, you have his company, his sohbet, there's one objective, one intention. What is that? What is that? We want to learn how to shun the sins. This is why we are going to the sheikh. It's easy to do amal, to leave sins is difficult. You can't do this on your own. The whole Ramadan you'll pass, you'll be hungry, thirsty, but you won't leave lying. You won't leave lying. Isn't this the case? 50 years life will pass. 50 Ramadans will pass. But you can't leave lying. I can't leave lying. Tell me. We're still like monkeys and apes. Animals. So what we realize, it's easy to do amal. We'll pray tahajjud easy. We'll go on umrah easy. We'll do everything under the sun. All deeds, actions, worship, prayers. But I can't leave backbiting. Can't leave the slander. So this is a massive action, immense, to leave the sin. You can't do it on your own. For this you need a friend of Allah, a sheikh, a teacher, a guide, who will take your hand, you put your hand in his hand, and he'll walk you along the path. Take you. If your hand comes in my hand, then the direction of the wind changes. So when you put your hand into the hand of the wali Allah, the direction of the wind changes, the life direction changes, the enjoyment of life changes and increases, because he gives you encouragement, determination, leave this is not good, go towards here. Insan, human being, alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala says that the teacher, the guide pushes you, he encourages you, he's not mad, is he, the student and the teacher? We need a bit of a push, a bit of a jerk, a bit of a nudge, but nobody pushes us. There are lots of people to nudge us towards dirty things, immoral things. Who will nudge you towards good things? Say loudly, the wali Allah. The friend of Allah. He'll make you feel dislike the sins. And he'll do dua for you behind your back. He'll push you, encourage you. He'll do dua for you in isolation, solitude. He'll say that Allah, Allah bring him to the deen. He doesn't understand. Then he'll ask you, you didn't come. Were you unwell? Why didn't you come? What's the reason? Why are you weak? Allah is not coming nowadays. I haven't seen him for a while. I haven't seen him in salah. Allah, is everything fine? My Mawla, please send him to salah. He does dua for you, the sheikh. If he's trapped by shaitan, take him out of the trap. Sometimes it happens. Allah Ta'ala listens to the dua, then suddenly he starts coming again. The student. He doesn't know what's the current that's in, flowing through my body. What's that knock from the back? Say, Subhanallah. So shouldn't we have friendship with the wali Allah? Will we make friendship? Inshallah. Benefit beyond benefit. No loss. Tell me, what's the loss in having a wali Allah as your friend? Is there any loss? Yes? Yes, is he going to ask you to put petrol or diesel into his car? Is he going to ask for money? No. He'll give you the benefit. So Allah has opened the roads and the paths and the ways and the methods. So we need to leave the sins. In this day and age, this environment, in this era that we're passing through, this generation, there are many sins, but one sin is such a big sin, such a bad sin, such a bad sin, that due to this sin, all other sins are committed. And it's not hard to commit this sin. This sin, Shaitan has made it easy for us to practice sins. He's made it so easy to practice sins. And this is Ummul Khaba'ith. This is the mother of the evils. Yeah, this sin pushes and injects the current into the actions to make other sins. Even a young child does this sin. Elder people, old men, pious so-called people, educated, people who have literacy or illiterate, everyone does this sin. This is the generation passing through. Where are our salahs? How can we be saved? How can we be saved? It's a big sin. How do we know it's a big sin? It's a bad sin. From the hadith, we know when it's mentioned, this will be the punishment. Then we define the scale of the sin. That this person will be dragged into Jahannam, chucked into Jahannam, punished like this. That's how we determine or ascertain how big is a sin. So today, in this day and age, to commit this sin is easy. And it's such a big sin that we can't even imagine the scale of the sin. So what should we do now? What should we do? One thing we need to be very careful about. Excuses don't pass in Allah's court. Oh, what could I do? It was too easy to do it. I was forced to do it. The doors were open in front of us for this sin. It was so easy to do. I did it. And such a big punishment. What can I do? I couldn't help it. We'll say this. Allah Ta'ala's sunnah is what? What is Allah's sunnah? Sunnah-e-Ilahi. When Allah gives an order, an instruction, then in comparison to that, Allah gives the tool, the method, the resources to shun that sin. Subhanallah. Say Subhanallah. Yeah. So the bigger the instruction, if there's an immense sin and Allah wants to test us in a big way, then Allah won't just leave us in an open playing field. We'll have excuses. Allah, it was a bad generation. We were in a bad environment in this country. Allah will say, nonsense. You did that action. Did I tell you? Did you do what I told you to do to protect yourself from the sin? No. Then Allah will say, then. So what's the point of making excuses? There are no excuses that we're here, we're in this environment, this hemisphere. There are many, many sins will come after this. We shouldn't make excuses. What we need to see is that Allah Ta'ala, what tool has He given to us so that we can save ourselves from the sin? Adopt that tool, say Subhanallah. That's it. Adopt that measure. What measure? So such a big sin that I'm about to explain to you is the root cause of all sins. It's so easy. Every man commits the sins and is doing it right now. Yeah? After doing good deeds, passes. What's that sin? What's he doing? He is doing the sin of the eyes. Yeah? The sin of the eyes. The eye strain. Misuse of the eyes. This is not common today. It's in everyone's pocket today. Shaitan. Pocket at home. Yeah? There are antennas at home. Aerials. I don't even know the name of these devices nowadays. Yeah? And when you go to someone's house on the wall, I said, what's this big black thing? He says, it's a TV. We sit down and watch it with the kids. I said, where's your wall gone then? Allahu Akbar. I said, where's your wall? Yeah? Is there damp behind that screen that you're to hide it? I thought it was a wall. I thought maybe you'd colored your wall black. He said, no, it's a big screen for the kids. Is it? I said, wasn't there a bigger size than this that you'd have got? That, why don't you make the whole house of that screen? I said to him, Shaitan. So, we don't get satisfaction by a 12-inch screen. Shaitan has made it big and he's made it small. He can take it out of the pocket and press tick, tick, tick on the icons. Yes? And he gives us an excuse. Oh, no, I've got a phone for another reason. But no, how can it be? La taqarabu al-fahisha. La taqarabu al-fahisha. Don't even go close to those things that will take you to fahish, to zina, to immodesty. So this is such a big sin, the evil eye, misuse of the eye is going astray. How can I leave this? I'll pray tahajjud, I'll do this action and this nafal, I'll give speeches, wa'ad and lectures. Eyesight, where's your eyesight strain? How are we using eyes? Who will give the sin of the eyes is very common today. Look at the adverts in papers, on screens, at pictures. Yeah? It's so common. Common. Yes, if we say, oh, we're in this society, mixed society, yes, I have to go to this shop, I have to go shopping, of course, Allah knows, you have to go into the dunya. But I said, the solution I gave to you to prevent this, and did you adopt it? Did you implement it? No. Why didn't you? Allah said, I gave you a cure, a solution. Say Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Allah Ta'ala said, what a beautiful verse of the Quran. Allah said, this is such a big sin. The evil eye, misuse of the eye being used in the wrong way. Allah says, if you don't leave the sin of the eyes, the Prophet ﷺ told us that you need to protect your eyes and your private parts. If you don't, Allah Ta'ala will disfigure your faces. Allah will change your faces. Disfigure you. And we say they haven't changed, but they have changed. These aren't those faces that they should be. The angels don't look at those faces. They change, disfigured. They become like swine and animals and monkeys. Totally they change. Soon as death comes, Allah Ta'ala makes that person rise with that face. The Quran is haq. The hadith is haq. When a person passes away, his face changed. In the days gone by, Allah would show those faces of the swine and monkeys. And today Allah says, when I change the faces, then the faces have already changed. Disfigured, there's just a veil in front of it, so we can't see it. With that face, a man's walking around the world. Why? Because he's doing the actions that Allah Ta'ala ordered, that I change your face if you do the action. Then wallahi, there's no doubt that person's face is changed. He's walking around the face of an animal. If Allah says, I'll make the face of a swine, if he's doing the sin, after which his face will become like a swine, then most definitely now, his face is the face of a swine. Due to his habits and his actions, he'll have the face of a dog. If he's doing the action about which Allah Ta'ala ordered, don't do this action, otherwise your face will become like this animal, then he's like that. Don't say, no, I'm looking in the mirror, I look nice, I'm a human being. Allah will say, I'll put a veil in front of you, you can't see it. Yeah, but there'll be no veil in the hereafter, on the day of judgment, in the hereafter. In the grave, the dogs and the swine and the animals, the person's got that complex in the face. If he's doing the action about which hadith has come, if he does this action, it'll become like this. If he does this action, then it'll become like this. Then he's become that in this world. Allah says, if you don't protect your eyes, look at the punishment now. What is the punishment? Allah says, I will disfigure your faces. Allah hasn't said an exact definition that'll make you a dog or a cat. We don't know. How will Allah disfigure it? Allah hasn't even given us the idea that what will your face become. Allah doesn't say exactly. Just says, I'll disfigure you. I'll spoil your face. What a big sin. Isn't it a big sin? And how easily we implemented it. And what's the solution to prevent it? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prescribed this to us. Allah has given the hukum. Order. Oh, mu'minu, Allah says, the believing men and women, that with respect Allah is addressing the Muslimin. Say, Subhanallah. He hasn't scolded us or beat us. Allah knows we're in this world. It's tough. It's challenging. You'll go to such continents, countries, where I'll give you rizq and earnings and life, and you'll have children there, and you'll have get wedded there and married there. Don't get anxious and afraid. If you implement the solution Allah says, then you'll be saved. Subhanallah, you'll be saved. Don't be afraid, don't fear, don't be distressed. Don't worry about where you are. Just carry on living your life, because the whole world's been made for your Muslimin. Wherever you're sent, wherever you live, wherever your rizq is written, you're there. Wherever you are to get married, you're married. Where your children were to be born, they're born. Don't be afraid of this. If you continue to do the action that I've told you to do, and the solutions I've prescribed to you, and you implement that, you have nothing to worry about. You will be the same way whether you're in front of the Kaaba, in front in Medina, or if you're in Bolton. Same. Same, equal, totally equal. Same nur, same light, same maqam, same status. Just like I give to in the Kaaba, in Medina I'll give to in Bolton. Say Subhanallah, Subhanallah. Am I right? Am I wrong or am I right? Tell me. 100% right? Yes, so whose fault is it today? Is it the location, geographical location, our people, our eyes? It's our fault. We don't use the shelter Allah's given to us. We don't accept the shelter. We don't accept the solution. Oh, though I've got wet. I was in the rain. Why didn't you take an umbrella? Oh, I didn't think about that. That if you're sinning, we hide the sins. We brush them under the carpet. We don't read Quran. We don't look at the solution. These verses, we hide them. We don't look at the verses. We're afraid. Oh, no, leave these. Let's go ahead. Talk about something else, we said. We don't listen. We don't look at the verses. We don't imagine what's Allah telling us. In reality, people don't even read the Quran. In reality, people don't even read the Quran. Allah doesn't allow people to listen to the Quran. And we don't want to listen to the Quran. So everything's the same. Yeah. So Allah Ta'ala said, just do one action that the sin, how heavy it is, it will take you to the worst of the conclusions. You know how far this sin will take you? Not just that you looked at a female or a ghair mahram, whoever it is. Yes, if she's your niece, Doesn't have to be someone. If she's the niece who's not permissible to you, sorry, if she's your sister-in-law, yeah? If she's your sister-in-law, she's your ghair mahram. No, she's my sister by mouth, or he's like my brother, or he's my peer, he's my sheikh, etc. No one is no relative. Mahram, ghair mahram. Clearly defined. Permissible, non-permissible. That's it. You can't go beyond that. Allah has defined it. If you want to be saved, then follow my sunnah. No. I've grown up with her. I've grown up with him. I brought this child up. If a woman brings up a child, yes, if a woman brings up a child, she took a child, adopted the child, and the child becomes mature, after maturity, then she has to implement parda, barrier, with that child. She's brought the child up. She's made him grow up. But he's a ghair mahram. Then parda is lazim, essential. Sharia says it. That's it. Yes, if we don't do this, Allah Ta'ala says the punishment, that same child, you'll do zina with that same adopted child. You brought him up like the mother, and the zina is taking place. Why? Because Allah's law has been broken. You understand what I'm saying? So the human being, when he does wrong actions, zina with the mother, with the sister, with the children, forget that, with the daughter's doing zina, the son's doing zina, everyone, when immodesty is prevalent due to the misuse of the eyes, all modesty disappears, and then we see these things, and the person continues with the sin. And what's the reason for it? The root cause reason is so immodest and no shame. Allah Ta'ala makes that person with no shame. He has no shame from any sins. Even if the daughter's walking around naked, astaghfirullah, niece or daughter, she's walking around half naked, wrong libas, wrong attire. Oh, it's okay, doesn't matter, we say. And then he's going to pray salah. Is this not the case today in our society? Well, we're in this hemisphere, in this country. No. Allah says, despite this, for all the mu'mineen, Allah says, my beloveds. Oh, and Allah is not telling us directly. He's speaking through Allah, Rabbul Alameen. He's speaking and telling us, explaining to us, defining it to us. Is who? Rahmatul lil Alameen, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And he's addressing us, animals, jahil, ignorant people. With the address, title of mu'mineen. We've given the title mu'mineen, the Muslims in Bolton. That Allah says, oh my mahbub, explain to them with your blessed words. Announce to them, qul lil mu'mineen. Why do you commit wrong actions? Why do you do silly actions? Allah is saying, you'll go very far, save your eyesight. You'll become immodest. You'll become sharam and shame will disappear from within you. Not due to the eyes. It's not this looking at someone wrong. It will take you to the furthest of sins. The hadith is stated that when a person, it's a hadith in Ahmad, narrated in Ahmad, when a person misuses his eyes and looks at a ghair mahram, non-permissible man or woman, then he's doing zina. And that zina will take him to where? It will take it to his private parts. When it gets to his private parts, then his private parts will make it true or false. No, she's my mother or she's my sister, so-called. Saying that, Allah punishes that person physically. This is the hadith. The private parts, they testify to the zina. The eyesight, when it's misused, then it takes it to the physical zina. With the misuse of the body. Oh, I'm just watching a picture. I'm just looking at the image. I'm just watching a program. I'm watching this and that. I'm not watching it for this reason. No, totally not. You've broken the principles, the laws. Be ready for the punishment, Allah says. Am I right or am I wrong? These punishments that we get, we've become mad, depression, like animals. All of this is due to our deeds. Allah says, you've broken my laws. So I will take away your health. I will injure you, Allah Ta'ala says, because you have disrespected me. So, Allah says, I'm addressing the believing men and women. Just do one action. What? That make a habit that keep your gaze down. Keep your eyes down. It's your job to keep your eyesight down. It's my job, Allah says, to prevent you from implementing that sin. SubhanAllah. Is there any easier solution than this, my brothers? Is this difficult? That this part of the body Allah has given to us. Allah has given us a shelter. What do we call this? The shelter. Yeah, the eyelids, the eyelashes. Allah says, put it down. Allah says, I could close your eyelids so you don't see nothing. When your beautiful face, I've given you two bulbs, two eyes, and I give you the beauty of eyesight, because I know that you'll come to places where you need to see. But some places you've got to put your eyelids down, lower your gaze. Allah says, give you the eyelids, the shelter. And the haya, the light of haya will come into your body, into your iman. And the noor, a light will come onto your face. This is Allah's order. Allah says that when you protect your gaze, lower your eyesight, lower your eyelids, Allah says, there's another hadith, I remember this hadith now. Allah Ta'ala stated that when a person, when he protects his gaze, Allah says, out of my fear, he accepts my order, like we're listening to Allah's order now. If any, some brothers here will have accepted this, maybe everyone say, yes, inshallah, we'll accept Allah's orders. We don't want to say like animals, everyone would have made attention that from today we'll try to leave zina. Making effort is easy. Allah says that when somebody listens to my words and becomes afraid, and he starts to make effort and tries, and he lowers his gaze, Allah Ta'ala stated, ajeeb, unique statement, that his iman, his belief, Allah says, I'll make it better, his iman, better. Subhanallah. What's this mean? Allah says, I'm his Rabb on his action because he is concerned and afraid and anxious and he's implemented my order and he's done that solution that he's implemented it, that what I told him. Allah says, suddenly I'll make his iman better. Look how sinful he is. Allah says, I'll make his iman so good that himself he will feel the taste and enjoyment of his iman. Subhanallah. That's how beautiful and Allah Ta'ala will make his iman adoring with a beautiful fragrance, that due to implementing Allah's solution, he'll feel the goodness, that when he leaves the sin, he'll say, oh, subhanAllah, when he leaves sins, you know when a person sits down, when he looks at the images on the TV, says, oh, look at those, the parts of the body, what a beautiful face, and the legs, etc., astaghfirullah. So Allah says, when you leave that sin, that when a female comes, for example, he suddenly turns his face, Allah says, he will experience the taste of iman, he will feel the sweetness of iman in his body. SubhanAllah. Say subhanallah. Allah's glory. What great solutions are given. So coming to this country is so beneficial for us, isn't it? That in this country it's so easy like this to become a wali Allah. Say subhanallah. Subhanallah. And they become walis. So many people make effort in our country. We're living Muslim, and that, for example, in Muslim countries have to work hard by here. Alhamdulillah, within seconds a person reaches to that maqam, to that status. Subhanallah. Here wilayat. French of Allah, suddenly in a night, tonight is the night of Jummah, we should start doing this action today. How many people on their backs they will get the seal of approval, Allah will give the seal that they are my walis. Subhanallah. Yes, is there anything lacking in Allah Ta'ala's treasure chest? Allah says, there's nothing difficult for me to approve, nothing. So we should be happy and joyful. Allah sent us to such a corner of the world where we get dunya and the deen. Dunya and the deen. We're running after roasted chickens, halal meat. Where's the halal meat shop? We don't want to forget that. We don't want to forget that. When we see the halal meat shop, we run. Yes, what about halal human being? Where do you find a halal human being? Seek that person. Isn't it? That's what we should do today. So it's stated, Allah's hinted, given direction, clear direction. Oh, believing men and women, the solution for you is your eyes, lower your gaze. To misuse the eyes is very dangerous. That to protect your private parts. Yes, the shameful parts. When a person does zina, obviously zina takes place with the private parts. When you become immodest and you start doing zina with the private parts, if you want to be safe from physical zina, if you want to protect yourself from zina, only one thing can protect you, if you protect your gaze. And this is the hint and the direction Allah Ta'ala has given. So what we realize, we learn, is that person, if he's a zani, why did he become a zani? Because he didn't protect his eyes, his gaze. That's why he became a zani. That's why he's doing zina. That's why his children are zani. That's why his wife or his daughter or son, they are zanis, because they didn't protect their eyesight. And they thought that their gaze was just a minor thing, insignificant. But Allah says that by misusing your gaze, you go to the highest level of that sin, which is physical zina. So if you want to be safe from this, from the highest banditry criminal action of zina, then first step is to lower your gaze and make it a habit in your life. Allah says, lower your gaze. Oh, I'm old. I say I'm old. But shaitan attacks the old people, because shaitan, he makes people think quickly, I'm an old man. Why do you say you're old? Oh, no, my daughter, no, my son. It's okay, no one's son or daughter, nobody may Allah forgive. Everyone is mahram, ghair mahram. If today, is it halal for an old man? If she says, I'm an old man, and he can put his hand on her head, no, get back. The current of zina is in the hands. The father, he cannot misuse his hand even with the mature daughter. So which hukum does the peer sahab have? The When the people start pressing his legs and serving him, where's the permission for this? Is there ijazah for this? The question doesn't arise. That's why Allah gave the principles and the deen and the laws. So in the house there should be two rooms, one for the women and one for who? Yes, when the children are grown up, mature, baligh, when they start praying salah, question doesn't arise that they go into the same room as the women. No. No. Because in our day and age, it was called, they're given the dress that this is the place for the women and this is the place for the men. Now we don't even know. Oh, where's she gone? Shouldn't she come today? There should be separate rooms for the men and the women. Nowadays, today, weddings are taking place. Sufis, Maulvis, Naqshbandis, Qadris, you'll see all of them there. Everyone's gathering, they're intermingling. And even in the homes, there are rooms where there's mix. There's music, mixed gathering, men, women, wedding function. And after a while, we'll see that that like a muttaqi is going to pray salah. He's going to do dhikr, going to pray salah. What sort of game is this? What sort of joke is this? What deen is this? That in today, everything is made apparent in the weddings nowadays. The haya, the sharam, the shame, everything's exposed. A person comes out from a wedding as a zani. Music, songs, mixed gathering, everything's taking place. Why? Oh, we're forced to do this. What will this person say? What will she say? Mother, father are the most valuable. The hukam has been given. If your mother or your father, if they do a non-shari action to order you to do, they say, that's your way for you and this is my way for me. Say loudly for me. This is the hukam. I'm not ready to accept your order because greater than you is my Rabb Allah. Subhanallah. He has ordered me that I should serve my mother and father. And he's told me how to do that. And if you give me hukum order, I'll do this to you. If you don't come to this gathering and that, I'll do this. Though Allah's hukum is first, you step back. I cannot implement your order. Allah's order comes first. Subhanallah. Have you got that much courage and determination? Have you got the courage? That's when a person becomes a mu'min. Oh, he'll be upset. She'll be upset. Commemorate this, celebrate this. No, I want to commemorate that I'm a Muslim. I want to obey Allah's order. That's why I've been created. And I'm not going to obey your order like this. That's how a person leaves his iman. Within seconds, a person leaves his iman. Shans his iman. That's why Allah's ordered. That protect your gaze if you want to be safe from zina. There are many forms of zina. Zina takes place in many ways and forms. Dirty dreams, you do dhikr, pray tahajjud, and dirty dreams are being seen. Women are coming to the dream, and wrong actions are happening. Bad situation. How can this be for a person who's a Sufi in the dream? Females, you get a madam because he's not protecting his gaze. Misuse, he becomes a zani. With all his attributes and characteristics, he's a zani. Totally. So state Allah has ordered that if you want to be protected from zina, if you don't want to rise as a zani in the day of judgment, in the grave, then what should you do first and foremost in this world? Is to protect your gaze. Start it now. That's it. Become blind. Become blind. I don't want to see anyone, nor do I want anyone to see me. Lower your gaze, your eyes, and this, Allah has given a hukam. Who's given the hukam? The government? Parliament? Hukumat? Leadership? They say, wear a seatbelt. We wear a seatbelt. If they order us, do this action, A, B, C. We do A, B, C, don't we? Don't we? So this is hukum constitution. We have to follow it, of course. Laws. It's difficult. It's a burden. But when Allah gives a hukum, it's very easy to implement. Positive, easy, simple, calm. Allah says, lower your gaze. Allah says, you might think it's hard. But if you do it, then after that, you won't feel like your gaze should wander. Big points I could say, brothers. Many points in my mind. 40 years, brothers. 40 years. Decades they have protected the gaze. When they meet each other, they say, I don't know who he is. He said, 40 years I've been with you. I said, I've never looked towards your face. Subhanallah. That I didn't get the opportunity that I should go around. This is that person, this face is. I have no link with anyone. I just keep myself to myself. So Allah Ta'ala says, in the Quran, those verily Allah says, I know best, I know better. That the actions that you do, Allah says, I know very well what you're doing and thinking. And listen carefully, Allah says, I'm telling you now, don't think I know what you're doing. Don't think I don't know what you're doing. Allah's given a hint here. That when you do zina with your eyes, misuse your eyes, then you may have sunglasses on. Dark shades on, and you think no one can see your eyes. Remember, this is such a sin. Zina of the eyes is such a sin that when a person, when he does wrong actions with his eyes, then there's a point in his mind. Oh, it's okay. Let me sit down. Wife's going to sleep, mashallah. It's night time. I'm free from salah. Okay, let's open the laptop. I'm telling you the stories, true stories. What do they do? Okay, let's open the laptop. Wives asleep, families asleep. And when this happens, always zina. What does a person need for zina? He needs solitude, isolation. Isolation, when there's no one there, then he'll do zina, isn't it? Is anyone looking? Does anyone know? Is anyone watching? Is one seeing? Allah gives the answer. Say subhanallah, subhanallah. Allah says that you think you're alone when you're doing the action of zina, then inside you this current will be traveling. That it's just me, myself and I, no one else. Let me open it now. Nude women, programs, nonsense, rubbish, wasteful scenes. I know such people. Such people. What can I say to you? This is my field. The poor souls, they've gone so far with this action. They say, Hazrat, save me, save me. But how can you save them? Why did you do this? This wrong action, you disrespectful person. No, 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 no. My wife's asleep, children asleep. Okay, bring it up, the laptop. Yes, how does this action start? Okay, let's look what's happening in the world today. Let's listen to Hazrat's bayan. And that's just a point in it. An excuse, it takes a second. Everything to come in front of you takes a second. So Allah Ta'ala stated, Allah said, verily, no doubt, I know everything. Alimun bimakanuhim. Allah says, I know everything. I can see everything. Remember this, your Lord. Don't think you're sinning and you're on your own and no one's watching you. Your wife and children are asleep. One thing, Allah says, verily, no doubt, your Rabb is watching you. Allah is watching you. Who is watching you? Your Rabb, Allah is watching you. Yes, haven't you understood? Your Rabb is He, Allah says Subhanallah. Say Subhanallah, Subhanallah. Your Rabb is He that He recognizes the misuse of your eyes. You can wear niqab and look. You can put the shades on and look. Or you can look in a nice way or a bad way. You think no one's watching you? You're going to get shopping. You're looking here, left, the woman at the counter. You're looking towards the counter, looking inside the shirt, in front and behind. Astaghfirullah. You'd think no one's watching you. Allah says, I no doubt am watching. The point Allah has given to the Sufis. Sufis, the scholars have explained. What's the first cue Allah saying? Protect your gaze. Lower your gaze. Now the second solution Allah has given with methodology. Subhanallah. Say Subhanallah. The second solution you learn when you sit in the company of the walis of Allah. Their tafaseer, Hazrat Sahib, when he used to speak, my Sheikh Rahimahullah, Rahmatullah Alayhi, the hearts of the walis of Allah, they're ajeeb, they're clean and pure, so deep. Allah puts ilham, inspiration and vision into their hearts and their minds. Because they answer the issues around them. So this is the system of Hazrat Sahib. That person's amazed and shocked. Where did Hazrat bring this point out from? So Maktubat in Hazrat's writings, he wrote, and I always used to read the letters of my Shaykh and I take guidance. 50, 60 years, 5, 6 decades, I feel as if my Shaykh is still with me. He's with me, do this and do that. I read his letter. So yesterday I read a deep, beautiful letter Hazrat Sahib wrote, and he wrote a verse of the Quran in this letter. And my heart was so light and I felt like I want to discuss this with you, subhanAllah. Because I thought, when I'm with my friends, that look at this point, Hazrat Sahib's given the meaning of this verse of the Quran, I want to share it with my friends. So look here now. That look how Allah is explaining the verse of the Quran, the friends of Allah. That here Allah said, Allah says that verily, no doubt, I know, I see, I recognize your heart, I know your thinking, I see where your eyes are going, the angle you think, I don't know what you're looking at. So here's the second cure, that if you want to be saved from the sin of zina, first lower your gaze, your eyes, and the second cure, Second solution, inside you create the thinking that Allah, your Rabb, is looking at you. Subhanallah, that's the second solution. Say Subhanallah, Subhanallah. Yes, you can't get this point and learning from anyone apart from the Sufis. Brothers, do you understand? Allah has given us a beautiful solution. Number one, lower your gaze. Number two, create the feeling inside you that your Rabb is watching you. When you start to do sin, when you think no one's watching me, let me sit down. Suddenly inside you, that feeling will come. No, no, Allah's watching me. Allah's watching me. Straight away, you'll put the laptop down, the lid down. Subhanallah. Say Subhanallah. Subhanallah. You see the cure? This is Quran's cure, second cure as well. And we think just lower the gaze. One, the blind person, he looks down, he still does wrong actions after that. Allah says, not complete cure yet. Still you have to do the other 50% inside. You need to create that awareness that your Rabb is watching you wherever you are. What are you doing, Allah? How do I create that? Do dhikr Allah, Allah says, do dhikr Allah. Then that feeling, Allah says, say Subhanallah, Subhanallah. That's why Allah says, وَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا لَا لَكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. That if you don't do dhikr in abundance, so much dhikr, so much dhikr, so much dhikr, every second you should feel that your Rabb is with you. Allah says that you should feel, I'm closer to you than your jugular vein. My connection with you should be so strong, so close that every second, every breath, you should feel that your Rabb is with you. That's it. For that you have to work hard. You have to become a dhakir. Say subhanallah. But we don't have time for that. That's why I invite you, come, do dhikr with me in the morning, in the evening. Do you think I want to bang the drum for nothing? That the people who come to do dhikr, when I invite you and say that, do I speak to you or do you speak to me? Do we have friendship? Nothing. Do we have any link? In the morning, do we talk and chit-chat, afternoon, evening? Okay, sometimes there's a bayan in between. Sometimes there isn't a bayan. Why? A discussion. Because we aren't here to make friendships and links. That you come and I come, we all come and we remember our Rabb, our Lord, our Creator. That's why we come. There's no third intention. We remember Allah and leave. Allah says, fine, you've now become mine. You've remembered me, now you've become mine. Will we do this? But we still don't want to come. Allah says, don't try as hard as possible. Even then we'll run away and we won't come to dhikr. We still run away. Without dhikr, life is not complete. You lower your gaze, but how will you create the awareness inside you that Allah is looking at you? Inna Allah Alimun. Allah says, I know, I see, I'm khabir, I'm basir. That feeling needs to come into your heart and mind, that when you're about to sin and you think, oh, no one's here, tuck, do what I want. Just me and that female, beautiful female, and her husband's not here, her brother's not here, doors are shut, and now it's just the two of us, and the passion's aroused, then we'll do this. On that maqam, the thing that will save you will be what? Allah says, the feeling, the awareness, the recognition, that inside you, the feeling, the recognition, that my Rabb is watching me, that no power of the world will make you do sin at that time. Subhanallah. Say subhanallah again. Subhanallah. Do you enjoy this, what I'm saying? Truthful? Honest? Yes? Subhanallah. So two things we've understood today. To be saved from the sin of zina, otherwise there's a big punishment. I've told you the punishment. Our faces will become like monkeys and swine and animals. There's no point in just speaking words. We have discussed this today for amal, for practice. Yes, am I mad? An animal sat there just bah bah, talk to you. I've got a sore throat. I'm just doing this for one reason, out of love and passion and friendship, so that Allah Ta'ala can cure all of us. It's a big sin that we're stuck in today. Zina, it's common on every footstep, in every place. But it's not difficult to be saved. Lower your gaze and start to do the dhikr of Allah. Two solutions. How should we start dhikr of Allah? Can't do this yourself. You have to find a wali Allah and ask him, request Allah, Hazrat, please teach me dhikr. You say, okay, I'll prescribe to you dhikr. This is dhikr, you need to do this much, morning, evening, that's it. He'll explain to you, prescribe to you, and say, fine, I'm doing it. Or if you can't come, I can't come all the time. Okay, you don't come. It's not forcing you, nothing, no conditions. Just learn dhikr and start doing dhikr. Subhanallah. Will you do this? Inshallah. You learn? Inshallah. Yes, the last time you said you will. Will you learn today and then depart? Inshallah. Will you learn, won't you? Inshallah. Okay, dhikr is a great action, immense action. It's the only solution to be saved from zina. We should try hard, I should try hard, you should try hard. Otherwise, there will be a very bad consequences when we leave this world. And there are big adab and punishments. May Allah Ta'ala save us. May Allah Ta'ala save the whole ummah. Ameen. Recite the Durood Sharif. Listen to these words again afterwards, okay? That afterwards, they will go live by midnight on site. 2-3 times, listen again and again. Then you'll understand what I'm saying, okay? بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الإنسان الصلاة والسلام والسلام شفيعهم دعوة يسير الحبيب الأمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد نبي النبي وزوجه أمهات المؤمنين وزوجاته وأهل بيته كما صليت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وسلم تسليما دائما أبدا كثيرا 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 اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وظلمنا وهزلنا وجدنا وخطأنا وعمدنا كل ذلك عندنا
اللهم ربنا إننا آمنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا أقنا عذاب النار ربنا اغفر لنا ذنوبنا بإسرافنا فثبت أقدامنا وانصرنا على القوم الكافرين رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستعين ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب اللهم إنا على ذكرك وشكرك بحسن عبادتك يا قاضي الحاجات اكت حاجاتنا يا قاضي الحاجات اكت حاجاتنا يا قاضي الحاجات اكت حاجاتنا يا دافي البليات ادفع بلياتنا يا دافي البليات ادفع بلياتنا يا دافي البليات ادفع بلياتنا يا شافي المراد اشفى مرادنا يا شافي المراد اشفى مرادنا يا شافي المراد اشفى مرادنا اللهم اغفرنا في سمي اللهم اغفرنا في سمي اللهم اغفرنا في بدني لا إله إلا أنت ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما اللهم ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا يا الله ہمارے ماں باپ کو بخش دے یا اللہ ہمارے ماں باپ کو بخش دے یا اللہ ہمارے ماں باپ کو بخش دے اللهم ربهما كما ربياني صغيرا اللهم ربهما كما ربياني صغيرا اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا واستاذينا ومشايخنا 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 وجميع المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الله ياهو منهم والأموات برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين آمين.